Okay.
Woo!
Yes. Ali Makovsky, how are you? Did I say that right?
Yeah, you said it perfectly. How are you?
Oh, I've been good. I've been good. I've just been chilling. A lot of chilling.
Yeah. So much time for chilling. And also, I love how professional you are to get me on this podcast.
Yeah. So, do people just DM each other for podcasts? Is that how it works in the comedy world?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like I get a decent amount of DMs, whether it's like from friends or just like total strangers who will DM me. I'm like, I do not know this person at all. So I know you kind of.
Kind of, yeah.
I know you a little bit. So when I got the email from my manager, I was like, whoa, okay, this is legit. It's hard to say no. When you took all the correct steps to get a hold of me.
Oh, yeah. I figured that'd probably be the best. Like, I don't know. At least with, like, bands, like, everything gets done through management. It's like bands don't want to do anything because then you start pissing people off. And
well, and I feel like with bands, there's other people involved in the band. And so it makes it a lot easier to just have, like, one point of contact instead of, like, the drummer said yes, the bass player said no, the singer, whatever.
Yeah, it's definitely made it a lot easier. So I wanted to go through the proper channels, but I wasn't sure if that was, like, commonplace on your
end. Did you get that through my website?
Yeah.
I love that. That's why I have that there, because I'm like, if you really need to get a hold of me, don't DM me. Like, don't go in the unrequested DMs. Give it to my... And also, I kind of do it because I want people to email my manager so my manager knows, like, people are trying to talk to me.
Yeah, that's also... Like, I've been emailing people's PR agents, too. Like, my friends who have albums coming out.
I was
like, now they look busy.
Yeah, totally.
It's like you're paying this retainer for PR and it's... They're working. They're working for you.
Yeah, give them a job to do. Where do you live? I met you when I was on the road, but I'm forget. Wait, hold on. I kind of want to remember this. Nope, I'm not going to remember. You can just say it.
I'm in Santa Barbara.
That's right, because I remember it wasn't that far away, but the show was more up north, right?
We were in St. Louis.
Wait, why? Oh, because you were doing a show.
I was also on tour.
And I love that you went through my manager because one of the guys was like, oh my God, they performed at like this house show I did at UCSB.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So he was like, that's so crazy. So, I mean, we both look very cool right now.
Yeah.
Which is super important.
So one of your managers went to UCSB?
I guess so.
And saw me there. Must have been in the early 2010s.
Wow.
Yeah.
You've been around for a while.
You could say that, yeah. But damn, that's crazy. Well, I'm only 30, so we started the band kind of young.
Yeah,
like 20. So.
And everyone's still cool with each other.
I have new members now, but yeah, we're all so cool. It's just everyone got older, and like, how long can you play Rock Band for? You know.
Totally. Yeah, I have a friend who's in a band, and it seems it's interesting because it's kind of like one of those things that I like envy, but at the same time don't envy. It's like what's the term about the coins and two sides of the same coin. I don't even know if that applies to this, but pretty much like I'm always envious of people who are in bands because I'm like, if you get to have a show and it's like an amazing show, you guys all fucking rocked out, and you guys all get to like celebrate together and be like, we're so great, I love you, I love you, I love you. It's like a team effort. But then if someone sucks, like if the drummer's just like blowing it, like everyone like low-key is just like, why are you in the band?
And that's actually the most important part is the drummer, because if your drummer sucks, like it's gonna ruin everyone else.
I wish I was in a band.
Do you think like after a stand-up set, like do you just hang out by yourself, especially if you're on the road like in St. Louis? Did you just go back to your hotel that night and just go to bed?
I mean, I don't exactly remember. I feel like whenever I go on the road, because Andrew Santino is headlining. So whenever I'm just like featuring for someone on the road, I typically just like follow whatever they want to do. And Andrew, I feel like maybe the first two nights Andrew likes to like go out to like a bar or a restaurant or something. So it's fun, like whether it's a good show or a bad show, like it's fun to just like go out and like, you know, hang out, have fun, meet the locals, whatever. Yeah. But it is just different because like he could have a really good set and maybe I have like a really bad set. And then I'm just like in a bummed mood and he's like thrilled. But with a band, everyone's kind of on the same page.
Yeah, yeah. If you fuck up at sound check, you're kind of like, okay. Like everyone's on edge. It's like we all know we need to like step it up for the actual performance.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the difference is, oh, sorry. I was just saying the difference, you guys are there like all weekend, right? You must have been at that city all weekend.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. So there's definitely time to like chill, figure out what you want to do. Some cities there's like more to do at night than others, or like depending on where the club's at and stuff. But I was talking to my friend the other day who's in a band, and it's funny because like I feel like when you're in a band, when you're touring, you're just like nonstop. And unless you're like putting out a special or touring for a reason with comedy, it's like you're just kind of doing like random, like you might have like 2 weekends in a row of shows. Or maybe it's like 1 weekend and then 3 weekends off and then like another weekend on the road. But I think it would be so fun to just have like one long world, or not world. I mean, that'd be sick too, but like that one would be sick, long like US run.
Yeah, it kind of breaks down to like 2 times a year. You're out for like 5 weeks in a row, like every day.
Yeah.
And then that's like, oh, but for comedians, it's kind of like every weekend, right?
Yeah.
And then you're back home by Monday?
Back home.
I can't tell what would be more exhausting.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's almost nice to do it in like a chunk of time. That way your brain is just like in show mode and you're like nonstop. And that way, like if you do fuck up at the beginning of the tour, then you're like tweaking it constantly.
Oh yeah, you get really good towards the end.
Yeah, yeah. But then if you're going like back and forth, you're like, okay, now I got to get back into it. And then you're like, okay, I got to get back into
it.
I also like the like road stories. And I think that that happens more so when you're like on the road nonstop, because you get so like there, you go kind of crazy.
Yeah.
I'm just pretending like I know what I'm talking about. I'm like, I've been in like 5 bands, but I like imagine you get like crazy or like, you know, so much can go wrong when you're like going across on a tour. And so it's like that kind of makes it so much fun once you do have that time to like rest and regroup.
Well, if you can survive the crazy moment, then it's like fun to look back on and just like laugh at.
Yeah.
But it's like in the moment, it's like sleeping in my van in like 100 degree weather in Florida wasn't fun. But like I can say it now and get a good laugh out of it. Like,
yeah. Oh, shit. I got to I've always dreamed of having like a tour bus moment.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
You know, like, I think because I grew up in the time of like Hannah Montana, Jonas Brothers, Justin Bieber, they all had those like concert movies. So you could like watch them on the tour bus. And I was like, I want to sleep in like a little cubby. Like, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, my equivalent was NSYNC. I had an NSYNC VHS of them on tour.
Did you watch that one YouTube premium documentary that Lance Bass created? And it talks about their manager and how like fucked up he was and weird and like
Lou Pearlman.
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't watch it,
but I know all about that.
It's so good. And I forgot to cancel my YouTube premium subscription, so now I'm just gonna like watch it 5 more times, I guess.
That was like my favorite group. That was like the first concert I ever went to.
Yeah, I think I was like just too young to be like super into it, but my sisters are 7 and 5 years older than me, so I kind of got like the residual fandom from them. Yes. And we were definitely an NSYNC house for sure.
Yeah, NSYNC over Backstreet Boys. But
that's the crazy thing about that documentary is you realize like Lou Pearlman created the beef between the two of them. They're essentially the same band.
Yeah.
Ugh. It's crazy.
I also got an offer to see the Spice Girls when I was a kid. My sister went and I declined.
Wow. Big regret.
I know. That's probably my big regret looking back on all the concerts I could have gone to.
Yeah. I also feel like I wasn't too heavily into the Spice Girls fandom, but
yeah. So yours must have been like, like you said, Hannah Montana.
Yeah. Oh yeah. But my friends were doing like a US tour in a van, and they were going to be in, it was like at the very end of their tour. They were doing San Francisco and then LA the next night. And I was going to go to the LA show, and they were like, why don't you just, they didn't, because they're from Australia, so they didn't realize how far San Francisco is to LA. So they're like, why
Oh,
don't you
yeah.
just go to San Francisco and LA? And I was like, yeah, can I like go on your bus? Like,
Yeah.
can I go on the tour bus? And they're like, yeah, of course. So I like looked up flights to see how much it would be to go to San Francisco. It was like $40 one way. So I flew to San Francisco day of, went to the show, got to sleep in the bus,
Oh,
and then
nice.
went back to LA with them the next day. And it was the coolest experience.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm
Except
still waiting.
you can't poop on the bus.
Yeah, that's a problem for me, man. That's like the thing with touring is that I need the shit and I need a shower. That's like my only two things. Like,
Yeah.
yeah. And that's why I like a nice hotel. Airbnb's made this whole touring thing like 100 times easier. Like, it's awesome.
Airbnbs are nice. I do love hotels though.
Oh, yeah.
I've always loved hotels. I think there's something, I like the artificial feeling of like not being home, but like an environment that's supposed to be like relaxing, but it's so just like sterile and like there's no character to it. I love it.
Do you crank the AC the whole time?
I feel like it ruins my sinuses.
Ooh.
I like a chilled room, but not too cold, because then
Oh
my nose
yeah.
gets all runny and I feel weird.
Yeah, the rest of the band hates it, but I leave that thing running all night
Yeah.
and then I'll find the spot of the bed closest to the AC.
Whoa, so you're
I
like
love it.
dedicated to central air.
Whew, I love it. Yeah.
I keep mine at my house at like 77, which is
Oh,
pretty
nice.
cold. It sounds hot, but
That
a
sounds
cool
kind of
77
hot.
is, no, it's very cold. Sometimes, I don't know if you can hear me, but my
Yeah, I can hear
roommates,
you.
okay, I'm in my room. My roommates are here,
Yeah.
so often my roommates will turn it down to like 74, 73, and it's way too cold. It's like the Arctic. So, anyway, it's com I mean, I get it. It's complicated. Everyone has a different stance on it. It's
Yeah,
very
everyone's.
political.
Oh, yeah, especially my bass player just loves everything hot. He loves the heat. And I don't know, like, I kind of got like that when I was living in Los Angeles. I got used to the heat because it's like a dry heat, but I can't, I fucking hate the heat now. I'm such a baby.
I'm a mix. I like when I
Yeah.
get on a hot day when I get in my car and it's really warm in there, I like
Yeah.
let myself just sit.
In the sauna, the free
Yes. And
sauna,
then eventually I'll roll the windows down and turn the AC up. But I like that initial like, or not when it's hot outside, but like when you're kind of cold and then you get into like a super hot car and it's just like, I feel like a baby.
Are you, well, without having to say what area of Los Angeles, you don't have to say where you live,
I'm
but
in
like what area?
Hollywood.
Oh, Hollywood, cool.
Yeah, like
How do you
Thai
like,
Town.
ooh, how do you like it?
I love it. I mean, it's the only place I've lived since I moved here, but I didn't move that far because I'm from Long Beach, so it wasn't like a huge journey to LA to follow my dreams. It was just like one stop on the freeway.
Yeah, totally.
So all my family's close, but yeah, my friend was living in this house and I had been to a party here. And I was like, this house is so cool. Like, I can't believe you live here. And because I hadn't been around to LA that much or like gone to people's houses, and like, I feel like everyone just has an apartment and there's like five people in a two bedroom. And so this is like the first house I had been to. And I'm like, this is so cool. You're like living the dream. And then eventually a room opened up here and I moved in and I've been here ever since.
That's awesome. Do you think moving to LA like helped your career?
I don't know because I was always like
Yeah.
coming up here. I think it just was like easier in terms of transportation because I would drive up every night to do open mics and I'd leave around like 2 in the morning, 2:33, and I'd just be so tired on the freeway going to Long
Yeah.
Beach. And especially just like being at my parents' house, like I'm glad I got to do it for a little bit, but I was just so over it and was like, I want to be nearby.
Totally. Because that's always like the battle that goes on in your head. Like, oh, if I'm going to be in a band, I should be living in LA. Like, I should be living in New York, San Francisco, like a bigger city than Santa Barbara, you know?
Yeah.
But when I finally did it, I was like, oh, I don't know. It just didn't make sense.
Yeah. Well, and Santa Barbara's so close to everything. It's far, but it's not that far.
Yeah, it's like an hour and a half.
If something were to come up last minute, like, it's very possible for you to make it.
Yeah, I'll just make that little drive, go play the show, and then head back home, I guess.
Yeah. Where are you from originally?
I'm from here, born and raised.
Oh, yeah. Is it Katy Perry from there?
She, yes, she is.
I love that.
I saw her once.
Where? What was she doing? Tell me everything.
I was working in the city parking lots. I was taking the tickets.
Okay,
and
cool.
She drove out of my lot, and she looked at me like, you know who I am.
Yeah.
Let's get a good deal and or free. And I looked at her. I said, it's going to be $1.50. She gave me $1.50. It was awesome.
Exact change.
And wow. There's a very skinny leg next to her, which tells this is Russell Brand era. It had to have been him.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I love Russell Brand. I love Katy Perry. I love all things pop culture.
Ooh, I'm pretty sure it was him. I saw a very skinny leg next to her and some car that I'd never seen before. I was like, yeah, this is tight. That's Katy Perry for sure.
I love Katy Perry.
Saw Tobey Maguire in that same parking lot.
Okay.
And Carson Daly.
Okay, we're getting worse on the celebrity list. I'm glad you mentioned it, just in case I was a big Carson Daly fan.
You never know. I was. And then I tweeted him and he followed me back on Twitter. And to this day... follows me on Twitter.
Wow, he's loyal. You know what? I'd give it up for him.
You know what?
He's a good
but
guy.
Me, 90s kid, TRL was big for me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's crazy to think, like, he was so big. And then, like, I mean, he's still doing all right.
He was always, like, always 30, though. Like, always, like.
Hey. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Ah, man. Yeah. Other than that, like, it's been chill. It's kind of been like, you know, I started this podcast.
Did you do this in quarantine?
Like right before.
Oh, nice.
Like right in January. So I have a couple in person and then now the rest of them have just been this.
Yeah.
Been writing songs. I did like one live stream on Instagram, but like it felt okay. I don't know.
Yeah, the online shows are weird. Like, it's fun in the moment, and then after, you're like, this is not the same feeling.
Yeah, it's not.
I feel like with live shows, there can be, like, really high highs and really low lows, and with, like, online shows, it's, like, no highs and just, like, kind of flatlining in some lows.
Exactly. That's what's, I don't know. I think for comedians, it's even harder, because it's, like, music, at least you can do the live stream music thing and it's kind of accepted and people kind of like it. But to do jokes on the live stream, it's hell no.
That's even like with watching like comedy specials. If you're not with a bunch of people watching it, like it's just not as funny. Like it's really hard to make it, you know, like accessible to be like a laugh out loud comedy special.
Yeah. I saw Tom Segura when he came to Santa Barbara.
Love him.
Hilarious. I was dying. And then his special came out and my friend texted me, yeah, wasn't as good as his last one. I was like, I was dying in person. It was the same jokes. Like
it's just hard. It's hard to like make that connection, especially if it's just you watching it. Cause you're just kind of thinking and I feel like with comedy, it's so much about the like energy of the people around you. Cause it's true. Mm-hmm. Like laughter is contagious. So when you hear someone else laugh, you're like, ha ha ha, that was funny.
Totally.
But yeah, like whenever you lose the live audience in real time, it's not the same.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
But that's another, that's another thing I envy about music is like, if you're performing a show, people can be like talking and, you know, like enjoying themselves, but like kind of having like a conversation, but be jamming out. And it doesn't matter. It's like,
you're always
still having
louder.
A good time. Yeah. But with comedy, it's like if people are talking, you're like, what the fuck did you just say? Like, you can hear everything. Like, you need undivided attention. And it'd be nice to have it so people could, like, casually enjoy comedy, but that's just not how it's consumed.
When was the first time you went to the store? Like, how old were you when the first time you went to the comedy store?
I think, so I remember for my birthday, I think it was maybe my like 17th birthday. Cool. Or maybe it was my 18th birthday. I don't remember, but it must have been my 17th birthday. My sister took me on a TMZ tour because, like I said, pop culture, I love it. And so we went on this TMZ tour and they drove by the comedy store and I'm like, what the fuck is that place? Like, we drove by the Laugh Factory first, and like, the Laugh Factory posts so many YouTube videos of comedians that I just like knew about the Laugh Factory.
Yeah.
And then we drove by the comedy store and I'm like, what's this like knockoff comedy place? Like, do they sell whoopee cushions here? Because it's called the comedy store.
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
Like, this is going to be corny. And my sister was like, no, this is like a really good like comedy place. Mm. And I was like, okay, whatever. And so then my sister, one of my other sister was interning at Conan for his show. Mm-hmm. And another intern there, or someone who worked there, was a stand-up comedian. His name's Brent Morin. And my sister just was like, she messaged him being like, hey, my sister wants to do comedy. Like, is there any way she can go to the comedy store? And so he put me on a list. I'm like 17 or 18. I'm not allowed in there at all.
Yeah.
And so I went, and that was my first time watching a show there. And it was just like super cool. Like, the energy was so different than like the Laugh Factory, because everyone's hanging out. I'm like hearing comedians have conversations in the hallway and I'm just like, whoa, like, this is crazy. It was so cool. And then once I started doing comedy, I just started going to the open mic there.
What year was that? When did you start?
I think I want to say 2015.
Cool.
Yeah. I think.
Awesome. Yeah. And they have like an open mic. What? I don't really know how to get it. Like, is there an open mic and you could just sign up and.
Yeah. So when I first started, I used this website called thecomedybureau.com, mm-hmm. and it just had a list of like every single open mic in LA and like what time it was at, if you needed to pay to perform, if it was like first come, first serve or a random lottery. And it had like all the information. So I would just like, look up where every location was and every time and how it was ran. And I would like organize my entire night to fit as many as I could in.
Yeah.
And so I just did that. And then the comedy store has always had this open mic on Mondays. And so I just started going to that. And then they had this, live show and podcast on Mondays called Kill Tony. So I started signing up for that and then eventually became a regular on that. And that's kind of like how I really got like, connected with the comedy store and like kind of made my way around there.
That's awesome.
But yeah, I was way too young to be there and got kicked out.
That's awesome.
They like finally found out that I was underage when I was 20. And then they're like, now you have to wait a year to come in. And I'm like, but I've been here the whole time.
Oh no.
Yeah.
That must have sucked.
It sucked. So I would like, go do my open mics or do a show. And then I'd like on my way home, stop by the comedy store and hang out on the sidewalk. Cause I wasn't allowed. Yeah.
That's awesome. But people like knew you. So it's like, you could see someone and be friends. And
yeah, totally.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
so it was fun.
I worked at this one club in Santa Barbara called Velvet Jones.
Mm.
And Red Band and Tripoli would do a night there. And
Sam Tripoli was the first person to ever take me somewhere out of LA to perform.
Really?
Yeah, and it was in Santa Barbara.
Oh, maybe it was Velvet Jones. It was probably Velvet Jones.
It probably was. It was so bad.
Yeah.
No one was there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I was working the marketing for that venue.
Yes.
And then it'd be like two nights before I'd get like an email. Hey, this is happening on Thursday. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
It's like literally zero time to promote it. So that's why those shows never went well. We didn't have enough like lead time to get posters made to like do the whole bit.
Yeah. But I remember it was so cool. Like, because it was my first time. So I was just like, this is the coolest thing ever.
That's funny. Yeah. That's how I don't know them because it was just like just seeing them and I didn't really talk to them. But like I remember seeing them there first and then I saw them at the comedy store. I was like, wow, those guys are actual comedians. I thought they were just random guys who played in Santa Barbara for no one.
That's so funny.
Yeah, That's cool. It's great. It's been cool to kind of see Sam Tripoli's like rise. I see.
Wait, and then how did you find out about me?
Christina posted about you. Christina Pajitsky.
Yeah, she posted. Oh yeah, she's so cool. I love her.
Yeah, I love that whole YMH crew. I met them at Tom's like instant family showing in Thousand Oaks.
Oh, what's that?
It was like that movie he did with Mark Wahlberg. He had like a show and showing, and I went and saw that man.
Oh, sick!
It was cool. It was fun. But yeah, she posted about you, and I was like, oh, let me check who this out is, and then yeah.
And then here we are.
Here we are. I was just, you know, when you're on tour, like in a band, like sometimes the last thing you want to fucking hear is music. So it's like, yeah. That's when you kind of get into podcasts and comedians and yeah.
It's been nice. I feel like since doing comedy, the longer I do comedy, the more I become friends with musicians.
Yeah. I think there's a part of us that like wants to swap lives.
And vice versa.
Yeah. Yeah, that was definitely something I like wanted to do when I was younger. It was either like be in a band or try and do comedy, but there's no scene. There's not really a scene here in Santa Barbara. Like, so.
Yeah.
Went and did music instead.
Yeah. I always knew that I wanted to do something where I could like entertain people.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be a singer. And my mom was like, well, you're no Mariah Carey or Ariana Grande. So then I was like, okay, I guess I'll just do comedy.
There you have to be the best or that's
yeah.
It. Yeah.
But and for some reason I was like, well, comedy will be pretty easy. And then I started doing it and I was like, this is not easy, It is super fun. I'm glad that I made the choice of doing comedy.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Where are some of the city? Have you gone all over the United States? Have you gone outside of?
Not yet. I've only traveled throughout the U.S. like when I've opened or like featured for other comedians. And then I just started headlining my own shows like right before COVID. But then I had to cancel the rest of them, which is a bummer. But
yeah,
I feel like I've been to a good amount of places. I go to Arizona a lot. I feel like I've been to Missouri like 2 or 3 times now for some reason. I don't know why that's like the hot spot for me, but I've been there quite a bit.
Where in Arizona?
I really like the Tempe Improv. I've performed there a bunch. Yeah.
Nice.
And the guy who runs that club is the best.
I played the worst show in Tempe, Arizona.
Really?
Yeah. It was Super Bowl Sunday. So there was just fucking no one. So I was like, all right, this is brutal. Yeah, this is brutal. That's like something I didn't realize. Like growing up in California, I booked a tour last year, like from January to March. And I was like, it should be beautiful. It's beautiful in Santa Barbara in February. And
yeah,
I slowly learned, no, it fucking sucks everywhere else.
Yeah.
Like we passed Chicago and we got into Minnesota and I was like, this is brutal. Fuck this.
Yeah. It's so cold.
Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, Tempe, St. Louis. That was my first time actually in St. Louis. And I was glad I got to see your set. It was so good.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So what's next for you? Like, you've been doing your podcast. I've been listening to that.
Yeah, so I've been doing my podcast, which has been nice to like have something to do during the quarantine. So I do that every week. It's called Resting Bitch, and I mostly just do it by myself, but I'm trying to get more guests on for the future. So I have some exciting guests coming on soon. So I've been doing that, and then I made and designed like my own t-shirts, and I'm doing like a small limited release, and I'm super excited about them because they're so cute and it's like the first thing I've ever made and like put out for people to buy. Cool. And then we'll just see. I'm doing like a drive-in movie type of comedy show.
Oh.
Back in Arizona, actually.
Yes.
In September. So that'll be interesting to try and do. And then
the drive-in show, is that opening or is that headlining or?
I think, well, I don't think it's like a headliner type of show. There's like this one guy hosting, Mike Turner, who's really funny. And then I think it's like me, Chappelle Lacey, and someone else who I'm blanking on, all just like doing probably the same amount of time for sets. Or maybe it is. I don't know. I'm just going to show up, you know?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
With your podcast, like...
Oh, Chappelle Lacey's headlining. Okay. I just checked the flyer. It'll be super fun.
That's awesome. And then with your podcast, like, yeah, I noticed it was just you and you're interested in getting more guests. Like, was the idea to just do it solo, like, first, or...
Yeah, I kind of wanted it to be, like, almost like a diary where I would just, like, keep people updated on... you know, my life and doing comedy and kind of being in the beginning of, like, you know, headlining and stuff and mm-hmm. what that's like. And, you know, every once in a while I'd have a guest on just if I wanted to talk to one of my friends. And I had my dad on, like, that was great. And then I've had chefs on, and I just get, like, whoever I feel like talking to.
Yeah.
But now that it's COVID, I don't really have much new, you know, events to report, and so yeah. I'm like, okay, I think this is a good time to have the guest portion of the show.
That's how I was when I first started this. I was like, oh, like, I like how Marc Maron does like a big intro, so I'll have an intro. And then I realized I don't have anything to fucking say.
Yeah.
So I cut the intro. Now I just do the interview.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. I love that Maddie Matheson episode, actually. I thought you did a great job.
I love Maddie so much.
I got his cookbook somewhere. I can't remember. It's somewhere in my room, though. Yeah.
He's the best. He's so cool.
That's awesome.
I was internet friends with him and, like, was obsessed. I thought, like, as soon as I found out who he was and started following him, I'm like, this is the coolest dude ever.
Yeah, he seems like the coolest dude.
Yeah, and then we met in person, and we just became friends, and I'm like, he's so funny and cool.
Did he cook for you?
No.
I've been wanting to try some of his food. It always looks
so good. Not yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, but maybe that's awesome. One day soon. Yeah.
That's cool. Well, so can you give us a sneak peek of this merch? Like, what are we looking at here?
It's top secret, but ooh. I think, I don't know when this podcast is coming out
on the next month.
Okay, well then it'll be out by then, but it'll probably be sold out.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, sorry you guys are late, but I'm sure I'll make more at some point. I just wanted to see how this does and get a feel for if people were even interested in wearing something.
That's awesome. T-shirts, hoodies, what is it
like? Just T-shirts.
Okay.
There's a black color. There's a white color. It's ooh. Really cute. I got one when they gave me the box of merch. They, like, had one for me to, like, you know, test and make sure I liked it and stuff.
Yeah.
And I put it on as soon as I got it, and I was like, this came out so much better than I expect. Like, I was nervous it would be, like, kind of corny or cheesy or, like, just dumb. And as soon as I put it on, I was like, this is perfect.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's definitely a fear of, like, doing merch. It's like, they're like, oh, you could do it in this shirt style or this shirt. It's like, I just want the one that feels good.
Yeah.
Like, what's the nice feeling shirt?
Yes. Yes. That's what I said, because I hate, like, stiff, like, starchy, hype streetwear shirts. Yeah. And so yes. I was like, I'll pay extra. I need to have a soft shirt. I'm not trying to sell stiff shirts to my fans.
Yeah. Do you feel like you've had a lot of male fans or female fans?
Based on my Instagram, at least, it's more dudes.
Yeah.
But I think it's probably also because, you know, going on the road with, like, male headliners, I think a lot of their fans have just found me through that.
Cool.
So yeah,
I was gonna say, you can get most guys will wear fucking anything, so it wouldn't really matter.
yeah but the one that I've been wearing that I got is like a tester. I've been wearing it like pretty much every day. Yeah. Wearing it to bed, wearing it when I'm out, like I wear it all the time. So that one I'm selling for a higher price.
Ooh,
that's gonna be like the special alleys. My armpits are going to be, like, stained into the shirt.
That's awesome. Yeah, merch can be can be scary just because you want to make good merch. And I'm always jealous of other people's merch.
I know. Everyone's so good at designing stuff, and I've never done anything like that. So I was, like, nervous, but I'm really happy with it.
When you say you designed it, like, what did you draw? Can you draw? Are you an artist like that?
No, I think it's more of, like, a visual design.
Cool.
It's definitely not like that. But I was at my mom's house at the beginning of lockdown, and I was bored. And I was like, how can I make money? Like, how can I just, like, do something for people to, like, you know, have a part of me with them while I'm not out touring. And mm-hmm. so I kind of, without giving too much away, I used some things from around the house to make this design. And then my buddy, I took a picture of it how I wanted it to be, and he just Photoshopped each piece that I put together and Photoshopped it onto a shirt.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. And so it's my own creation.
Ooh. The first of many shirts, then. Let's see how this goes.
I think so. Now that this is going to be done soon, I'm already like, I want to make more.
Yeah. Are you doing your merch with, like, a company, or are you going to, will Allie be shipping this shit herself?
Personally, my hands to your chest. Yeah.
Ooh.
I'm nervous about that. I'm like, I don't know how capable I am of mailing things, but hopefully it's not too bad. I want people to get them quickly, so I hope it doesn't take too long to ship.
I'm terrible at it.
We'll see. Luckily, I have friends who I can just, like, bribe with food and maybe money.
Yeah.
Be like, please help me ship this. Yeah. I'm useless.
Damn. Yeah, merch is a big part of, like, any artist's life, and that was, like, definitely something I've been thinking about in this quarantine. Like, oh, I should, like, get the Dante Elefante store going. Like, I think I need to be, like, an online business now. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
I know, but I'm also stressed. I'm like, does that mean I have to, like, do taxes as, like, a t-shirt business?
Yeah, what does that mean?
I don't know. I'm so bad with all of that stuff.
Do I have to do taxes at all next year? I didn't work at all.
Are you on unemployment?
Yeah.
Do you know that you have to pay taxes on unemployment next year?
Oh, shit.
Isn't that fucked?
That is fucked. Yeah, that's, I'm, like, not. Okay, well, then that, I'm screwed. I don't know.
I know. I know. We're all fucked.
Yeah. I played a show New Year's Eve. That was the last show I did. And I don't know, man. I guess I'll have to pay taxes on that. I guess. I don't know. New Year's Eve shows, I don't know if that counts as last year or this year.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Doesn't the year start for taxes in, like, April?
Oh. Okay. Then that makes that easier.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I don't know. Are you nervous to get back into the clubs if and when it opens?
No, I'm ready. I'm ready. I, like, started skateboarding during quarantine. I'm like, I don't even know who I am anymore.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to ask you about the skateboarding. How's it going?
It's going, I'm not going pro or anything, but it's been really fun. Like, it's,
you
really
got the challenging. Ollie.
I got the Ollie down. Next is a shove it. And then next thing you know, I'll be kick flipping around town. But, yeah, it's been fun. It's just nice to have, like, something to do outside
mm-hmm.
and to be active and to, like, mm-hmm. try and work on something. And it's been fun. And I really like the people who I skate with. So I enjoy it.
That's cool. Yeah. Skating. I'm just impressed by people who could just stand on the board and just regular skate. I'm like, oh, damn.
Yeah, I was posting videos, and I was getting so much feedback from strangers being like, you have to do this, you have to do that. And I'm like, I know what I need to do. I can't do it. And also, I don't see you skating, you know, like if you do the trick, sure. But I'm also, like, at the park with people who know what they're doing. So I'm getting good feedback.
I wonder if that's, like, I don't know. Is that patriarchy?
I have no idea. Someone was like, these dudes just want a reason to talk to you. Let them shoot their shot.
Yeah, that's probably.
But it does feel very, like, patronizing. Where it's like, do this. Like, you just have to commit. I'm like, I know. I know.
Because I don't think anyone, like no, very rarely does a guy come up to me after a show and be like, oh, what kind of pedals are you using, dude? Like, oh, sick. But, like, when I see my friends who are female in bands, it's always like, oh, that's a sick guitar. Like, they're just, like, looking for a reason.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know.
Yeah. I have to just give people the benefit of the doubt and not assume. I don't know. I don't care. I'm like, I'm doing it whether someone even followed up. I posted a video of me landing the ollie, and this is like a stranger. Like, I don't have DMs with them. I was just reading my unread DMs.
Yeah.
And this guy was like, oh, I see you took my advice. Like, you really popped the tail on that one. And I'm like, I've just been practicing. I wasn't like, what did that one guy say? Like, Duck Dynasty 1234X _ Yeah. Like, I think he mentioned something. But it's nice. I mean, it's nice that people care at all. And
yeah,
watch
we want to see you
I
succeed
do,
in
so,
your journey.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's been fun. I can't wait to just shred.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I can't imagine what a grind feels like. Like grinding a rail.
Yeah.
It looks so cool. I can only imagine.
It's all so scary.
Yeah. And you've been putting up on TikTok. Do you have fears over TikTok?
No, I don't care. I'm honestly, I hope it goes away because that's just one less thing I need to check.
That's been like my one place where I'm like, oh, there's not really a lot of bullshit politics, and I get so like I can go to TikTok and just see, you know, the
it's
gush.
A time suck though. I feel like when I go on there, I'm like, what day is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, where am I? It's a casino.
I saw a TikTok of a guy in a casino smoking with his mask on.
I've seen that, yeah. You know what? I love that guy. Power to him.
We have a casino pretty close to Santa Barbara that's open, and I have yet to go.
I love casinos. I love anywhere where people are like just kind of like wasting their life away. Like, I'm super into like lake and river people.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Live by the lake and just like drink beer and have like long acrylic nails and leather skin. Like, that's my dream.
Ooh. Are you a beach person?
Yeah, a little bit, but I really like lakes and rivers.
Yeah. Where do we get that here? Where can we go?
You got to go to like Arizona.
Yeah. Damn.
But there's Kern River, which isn't too far.
Okay.
I went there when I was young. I haven't gone as an adult, but there are like spots around. I never am like the type of person who just like goes and does that on my own.
Yeah.
I only do it if there's like people who know what they're doing who take me along with them.
I get kind of dragged out to like hikes and stuff. I rarely feel inspired to go on like a hike or anything like that.
Yeah. I have to make a plan to go on a hike or else I'm not going to go.
I have to be told like ahead of time if they want to go to the beach. Like, I can't, you know, very rare do I find like the motivation that, oh, let's go to the beach today.
Yeah.
Like my girlfriend and I went to the beach 4th of July weekend. She was like, I feel like we did this. And then she looked on her phone. It was literally 2 years ago. I was like, yeah, I guess 2 years is kind of like every 2 years I feel like going to the beach. But other than that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy because we live so close to the beach.
I know. I live very close. Like, seagulls fly around my house.
I've gone more though during lockdown. It's been really nice.
Yeah. I have noticed it's been like pretty nice, and I went downtown last weekend. It was mostly people not from Santa Barbara in Santa Barbara. I was like, yeah, I see. And no one's wearing a mask. It's like, okay. And then I tried to leave on Sunday because I went to LA on Sunday, and it was just like back-to-back traffic. I'm like, okay.
I know. It's crazy. Everyone's out and about.
I know. Feels all right, though. I'm excited. I don't know when I'll be playing shows again, but I'm definitely ready to start playing again. It was really fun. Yeah. I don't know. Touring, though? I don't know when I'll want to tour again, though.
I know. It's really weird to think about.
Yeah.
It'll just be nice when things can kind of start up in terms of entertainment.
Totally.
I want to go to concerts. I want to go.
Yeah.
I miss out on that.
I know.
And festivals.
Festivals. Yeah. When is a festival going to come back? I have no idea. Have you done Coachella? Have you gone to any of those?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. I love Coachella. Well, not as much anymore, but I just like being around people and like having a shared experience.
Who'd you go see? Who was there?
I've been a couple of years. I saw the 1975 before they were like the big rock stars they are now, and that was really
Yeah.
cool. And I've seen them since, and it's really fun to be able to like watch a band's progression with like live shows. And they've just gotten like so, there's like I went to see them not too like in December, like around last Christmas at K Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas, and they
Oh,
were
cool.
so good.
That's awesome.
So I have videos from it, and it's just like me screaming at the top of my lungs the whole time.
Are you the person who likes to meet the band after the show?
If I can, of course.
Yeah.
Duh,
Wait by the tour
I'm not,
bus?
yeah, I'm not leaving after. I'm like trying to find all the escape routes. Any, like, I'm like, what food is nearby here where they might stop at? I'm a stalker.
Yeah. That's
I'm
true.
dedicated.
Yeah, I like that energy. I like when people come to the merch booth and just talk. They don't buy anything. They just talk because they want to talk to the band. Like,
but I
that
feel
stuff
like
is fun
I
for
don't
me.
go to too many like small independent shows. So I don't,
Yeah.
I mean, in my head, I'm like the person who hangs after. But like if you're going to K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas and the 1975 are performing, you're not meeting them after. There's no chance.
That's true. That's true.
But I always have the delusional mindset that I'm going to be in the crowd having a great time. Maddie Healy's going to see me and be like, you're the best fan we have. We want you to come on the road with us and just be in the audience for every show.
Yeah. Yeah, like that'd be your role.
In my
to
head,
be in
I'm
the
like,
audience.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all I need. In my head, I'm like, that seems very reasonable.
Maybe sing backups.
Oh my God. I mean, I don't want to push it, but I'll start with the audience.
Let's not even push the fantasy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, I feel like I'm that same way with comedy where I like, you know, and that's what I like about the Comedy Store is you see them walking around. You're like, oh my God, that's so-and-so.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's so fun.
That's awesome. Yeah, I don't know. It's so cool, though. What else was I going to ask you about? TikTok. I know you like TikTok. You've been skateboarding. You have the podcast. Is it just you who does the podcast, or do you have a team, or...
No, it's just me and then my producer, Anthony, who helps me with, like, editing it and audio and all of
cool.
that. We recorded at his house, typically. And then my buddy, Tom, does the clips for it and the visuals.
Cool.
And that's it. It's pretty much a three-man team.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think probably the worst part's editing because I hate fucking listening to myself talk. Like, this is going to be brutal to edit for me.
Yeah, and I have no desire to learn how to do that. I'm happy to rely on other people for that. So it's nice, just all I have to do is show up, try and make it good, and then put it in their hands after that.
Totally. Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
What are some of the podcasts you like listening to that made you want to start one?
You know, I don't listen to too many podcasts, but I think like some of my favorites that I think are really great is like Rick Glassman has a podcast called Take Your Shoes Off, and I think that it's like brilliant, and he does such a great job editing and just making it like a unique podcast experience. And then Andrew Michon and Cole Hirsch have a podcast called Podcast But Outside.
Cool.
And I think that those are just like more, it's hard for me to just like sit and listen to someone talk. I get really impatient. And so they both have podcasts that are more like visual and like not as podcasty and more like YouTube-y, almost like sketch kind of.
Mm-hmm.
So those are my faves.
Do you like vloggers?
Not particularly, but
yeah.
I've been known to watch a couple vlogs. If it's something that I want to know about, I'll watch it, but I don't like keep up with. I used to be obsessed with Phil DeFranco.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I used to really love his podcast. I feel like I was more, or not podcasts, his vlogs, but I feel like I was more into that in like middle school and like early in high school.
I've been watching a lot of Trisha Paytas. You know her?
Oh yeah.
With my girlfriend, and she's a riot, man.
She's
not
on
trying
another
to
level.
Be funny, but she is so funny.
It's crazy.
She's definitely not trying. I don't think she's trying.
I don't think so either.
Yeah.
I think it's all an accident.
She's just eating like the worst shit in her like Rolls Royce, and it's just an all pink Rolls Royce. I don't know.
Her life is very weird.
Yeah. And now I want her life. I'm going to admit it to you. I want
post,
her life.
Post COVID, we're going to, that's our goal.
Trisha Paytas is my goal. Oh, man. Other than that, yeah, I've been, YouTube is just, I think, is such a great platform that I've been underusing. Like, yeah. every musician I know doesn't do shit with their YouTube. It's just like, go listen to us on Spotify and that's fine. But like, I don't know. I like, it's really the comedians that have made me think like, oh, YouTube is where I should be focusing a lot of my energy on.
Yeah. Well, it was just super important to me because I like grew up with YouTube and, you know, like I said, like I really enjoy podcasts or anything that's just like more visual. And so I like having that aspect to it. But I know some people are very much like audio only. I want to listen to it while I'm driving. So I'm like, why not do both?
Yeah. That's awesome. Yep. When do you think you're going to start having guests? How soon can we expect
I'm supposed to have a guest coming up on this next episode. So there should be, I have a couple lined up depending on if they're able to make it at the certain time or not.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it'll be happening soon.
Do you have any anxiety about asking people?
No, because I feel like most of the people I ask are people that I already talk to. So it's just kind of like, hey, if you're available, come do my podcast.
Okay, yeah.
I don't, my goal isn't to like have like the most famous or the coolest people. Like I just want to have people on that I'm fascinated by and who I think totally. Are cool. Because then it's easy for me to like talk to them because I just want to like ask them random questions about themselves and or just have a conversation that I would normally have with them, but for other people to see.
I always get kind of freaked out, like even if I know them, and then most of the guests I've had are people I know, like personally, and I still get weirded out. Like, do you think you could?
It gets easier though. Talk I to think, me? Like, yeah, I think like the longer I've been doing it, the more natural it is. But it definitely was like a little bit weirder at first because it's hard to be like, this is my podcast. I just started it. It's really bare bones. There's not much, you know, going on with it. There's not a lot of people who listen, but the more I do it and feel more comfortable with it and the more it grows, the more I'm like, I'm just going to shoot my shot with whoever and just see what works. Cause I don't mind doing it solo. So it's like, if someone can't make it, it's.
That's true. That's like, what's nice about being able to do it solo is that it's not always so guest reliant and you can just fucking do it. I think one of the funniest things I've been getting, it's like, oh, so-and-so isn't available. It's like, what are they doing?
Yeah.
Like, doing what?
Yeah.
Yeah, they just don't have the time. Like, what?
I feel like it's hard, though, to be like, it's hard to agree to do something during lockdown because sometimes it's like, I feel like my mood fluctuates so much during lockdown. And so it's like, I'll be asked to do something and I'm just like, I'm not feeling it like at all.
Yeah.
And it's hard, but I don't know. I just figure I might as well just do whatever and just show up.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Oh man. Yeah.
Now who's the third participant? Oh, you're on here twice.
Oh, I broke the microphone on my laptop.
Damn.
I know. And now I use my cell phone as a microphone and I replaced this image because the webcam on my laptop is so shit. Yeah. So I have another camera going that will look
better. Whoa. Okay. I know. Got all the different setups.
It's taken me kind of a while to get it locked down.
You figured it out.
I'm like on episode 30 something right now. So.
Oh, exciting.
Yeah. It's new. The one thing I like about comedians and people like you guys is that you talk a lot and you guys are really great at talking. And then when you're like, oh, let's talk to a musician, they're just like aren't used to talking.
Yeah.
So they don't have shit to say ever.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, where can... Yeah.
It just takes time. I don't know. I feel like... And it's also, I feel like my mood is so dependent on how talkative I am. And that can be frustrating because sometimes I'm like, you know, I have so much to say, stories, funny, ha 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 ha. And then sometimes I'm just like, like my energy levels are so important to how I like react and respond and talk. But
how do you feel? What's your energy level when you get on Omegle?
Your Omegle. Oh my gosh, I'm obsessed with Omegle. I only go on when I feel like I'm in a good headspace and I can talk to people. And sometimes I think that I'm in a good place to like hold weird conversations. And as soon as I'm on, I'm like, actually, I'm not there. And then I'm like, okay. Tired. Yeah, I'm like, I'm going to end this now because it's not going to be good. And I know that. Like, there's just no part in me that's going to like get the energy to recover.
Yeah. I think it's hilarious, though. I think it's like, so, I don't know. It could be so weird. I was obsessed with Chat Roulette when it first came out.
Oh, yeah, same. I was, like, in middle school talking to weird, horny old men.
It got weird quick on that site.
Yeah, but now it's been fun. Like, what's
the difference between
Omegle and I don't think there's much of a difference between Omegle and Chat Roulette. I think Chat Roulette's definitely more geared towards horniness, and Omegle has it kind of sprinkled in, but Omegle's more for, I think, like, people who just are, like, trying to talk. But it's just been fun because that does feel kind of like I'm performing.
Like a show,
it does
yeah.
give me like kind of a false sense of like entertainment. So, you know, I enjoy it and it's fun live streaming it to, you know, my followers and having them interact with me and the people that they're seeing. Because we're all having this experience of like, is this person crazy? Are they normal? Do we like them? What are they talking about? Are they lying? Like,
that's
it's just really fun. It's such a roller coaster.
That's so funny. Yeah, I think you meet such strange people just like the road, really. Except in the comfort of your own home, you're inviting the weirdos into your house.
Totally. It kind of feels like crowd work a little bit.
Totally.
Yeah.
With an occasional penis just
every
in
once
the crowd.
In a while. You know, yeah. I don't mind it.
Yeah. That's true.
I gotta go though. I'm gonna see. I'm visiting a baby through a window. They won't let me hold the baby or be near the baby, but I get to view the baby from a window, and I'm very excited about that.
Oh well. Thanks for being on.
Thank you so much for having me on.
If people want to support Ali Mac, how do they do that?
They can do that by following me on Instagram at notallymac. I also have a website, allymakovsky.com. You'll figure out how to spell it. I have faith in you. Yeah. And hopefully there might be some shirts still available. So check it out in case.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, hopefully the shirts are still available. And well, thanks so much.
Thanks. Good talking to you.
Yeah. Nice talking to you, too.
Bye.